Billy Graham, alive in the presence of the Lord. We'll talk about his life and legacy today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, Billy Graham has gone to be with his Lord, his Master, his Redeemer at the age of 99. I was at a conference in D.C. sponsored by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association last year, and Franklin Graham said that his dad would joke with him when he got to 90. He said he was going to get to 95. When he got to 95, he joked he was going to get to 100. Well, he got to 99 years old. And what a legacy he left, what a void he leaves as well. Obviously, he hasn't been active in ministry for some years, but his example, his voice, is something that many of us grew up with and many of us remember well. So today on the broadcast, because of the uniqueness of his life, because of the importance of the role that he played, I want to open up the phone lines, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And I want to ask for your comments. What made Billy Graham so special? What made Billy Graham unique? Why did he stand out the way he did? And why is it that we really don't have anyone like him in the nation today? You have fine Christian leaders. You have men of God, women of God, fine Christian leaders being used by the Lord, people who are respected. But you don't have anyone that has the stature that Billy Graham had, that had the level of national respect that he had. Of course, there were always people that were going to ridicule him because he was a follower of Jesus. But in your mind, what is it that stood out about Billy Graham? What was it about Billy Graham that made you be proud to be associated with him as a Christian leader? What was it about his message or his conduct that you specially appreciated? Where is the void now in terms of not having someone like Billy Graham? Give us a call, 866-348-7884. Also, I'll be checking for comments on the YouTube channel as well. Just looking at some here, David, he followed the Great Commission to the letter. Miss Bluebird, in a sentence, Billy was unique in his passion for our Lord. So look at some YouTube comments, some Facebook comments as well. Let me just give you a few reflections on my end. I was not one that carefully followed his ministry over the years, but certainly as a new believer, his name was well known to me. Occasionally, I would watch him preach on TV or hear excerpts of his messages. And then I'd see him sometimes on secular TV or something like that. You know, he'd be appearing on some talk show, whatever. And what struck me was his unfailing graciousness and the fact that he always stayed on message. In other words, you knew this was evangelist Billy Graham, that he might make a social statement, he might make a political statement, but it was normally one that was gracious and affirming, you know, the good deeds of someone's life or their charitable contributions or something like that. But as a fairly new believer, well, let's see, say for a few years as I think about it, because I think Nancy and I watched this together. So maybe, you know, say 5-6 years at this point, married, but still pretty early on in the Lord. Billy Graham was on the Johnny Carson show. So this is secular talk show, you know, Johnny Carson, long before the current talk show guys, he was the giant of late night talk show. So Billy Graham is on Johnny Carson. And again, he was unfailingly gracious. There was always a smile. There was kindness, but he preached the gospel. And somehow in the conversation, I remember Johnny Carson saying, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I can't even repeat all the Ten Commandments. And Billy Graham said to him, yes, but you've broken them all. That would be typical Billy Graham. He's going to speak the truth to you, but with a smile and with love. A few years back on The Line of Fire, I interviewed a gentleman who had been an international religion correspondent. He was fluent in Chinese and in Russian. He had interviewed some of the best-known leaders in the world, including dictators, including terrorist leaders, including various spiritual leaders. So he really was a man that traveled in many circles that most of us will never get to travel. And some people he interviewed, I mean, were downright evil and wicked. And when I asked him, what was the most unique interview you ever had? Which interview stands out the most? He said to me, my interview with Billy Graham. My interview with Billy Graham. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, famous world leaders that he interviewed. And as I said, from dictators to terrorists to spiritual leaders, and the one that stood out the most to him was Billy Graham. And when I asked him why, he said every interview he ever did, it was about that person. But when he sat with Billy Graham, the interest was on him, that Billy Graham wanted to know about him. When I was in China a few years ago at the invitation of Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, I spent some time with a South African couple. The pastor is a Baptist pastor, oh, maybe in his 70s now, and based in North Carolina. And this was Billy Graham's home church. So this man was affectionately known as Billy Graham's pastor. So I asked him and his wife when we were having a meal together in China, what is it about Billy Graham that stood out most to you? And they said, when he was with you, he was totally present. In other words, he was involved with you, he was focused on you, and you were what mattered. We might see the public aspects of Billy Graham. We might see the message that he preached. We might know him as a counselor to presidents and things like that. And of course, you didn't know him for taking a particular political position, but you knew him preaching against sin and preaching against immorality and preaching holiness and preaching repentance and preaching heaven and preaching hell. Many things that are not preached from our pulpits today. But in point of fact, when it comes to Billy Graham, it was who he was behind the scenes that seemed to be of greater significance. I never met him, never spent time with him. But that seems to be what made the greatest impression on people. Again, if you'd like to call in and say, here's why I think he was special. Here's why I think God really used him. Here's the role he played, and I don't see anyone playing that role right now in America. By all means, give us a call, and I will get to a number of calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Mike says, I believe that the fact that world leaders accepted him and so does council lent a credibility to him for the population at large and opened even more doors to people of popular culture. Another comment, I believe in every generation there's a particular anointed man that's used by God as one to preach repentance to the nations. Billy Graham was certainly one of the significant men of his generation. Another comment, he wasn't afraid. Yeah, be all things to all people. There was that sensitivity and love. And of course, you will be hated for doing that as well. One thing I've seen, though, as I have looked at some of his videos, some messages, and again, watched him on TV over the years, and then visited the Billy Graham Library, which is right near the Charlotte airport, I was more moved than I expected to be when I went there. I did a tour with everyone, but I had one of their leaders privately talk me through different parts of it, and he was excited to do it because of my own heritage in revival. And just seeing some of the feature that they had there of Billy Graham with world leaders and Billy Graham on the media, and just the unfailing wisdom and love and ability to preach Jesus, it just got my attention that, again, he was on point. You knew what he was going to talk about, who he was. He was evangelist Billy Graham. There was no mistaking that. He wasn't political leader or cultural commentator. Now, look, some are called to be political leaders, and some are called to be cultural commentators, and some are called to be pastors, and some are called to be teachers. He was evangelist Billy Graham. He didn't try to teach the whole body. You know, this is what the whole church needs to do. except get people excited about the Great Commission. He even though he's called America's pastor, he didn't have a weekly broadcast where he claimed to be America's pastor, like, here, come to my TV church. No, he was evangelist Billy Graham. And if you went to one of his meetings, you knew you were going to hear an evangelistic message. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones, and we'll start in Indiana. John, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure thing.
You and I have had a little bit of a Twitter interaction before, and appreciate you backing me up on some just some scriptural arguments that I've had to make with people that were getting scripture wrong or mm-hmm. just doing different things that were being taken out of context. I just wanted to say that personally. I wanted to speak about the legacy of Billy Graham. I saw a tweet from Breakpoint, the former podcast and radio show that Chuck Colson used to host.
Yeah.
And it said that the man that led Chuck Colson to Christ received Christ himself at a Billy Graham crusade in New York City in 1968. That man would answer the call of Billy Graham's altar call, and then 8 years later would lead Chuck Colson to the Lord. And I find it interesting how that one interaction perfectly describes the influence of Billy Graham. I had a friend of mine that said, wouldn't it be interesting if they, I guess the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association guesstimated that he preached the gospel to over 215 million people across the globe. Mm-hmm. Everyone that was eternally impacted in heaven, if they met him today when he entered the gates and
yeah.
said, "I'm here because you were faithful to the gospel," and I think
you think of the ripple effect as you're mentioning, that this one got saved at a meeting and then led a family member to the Lord, or the whole family got saved and then this one and then this one, so the numbers multiply. But you know, that's the encouragement to each of us: when you lead one soul to the Lord, yes, you're leading one soul to the Lord, but you may be leading many to the Lord, because that one may lead another one to the Lord, who may lead another one to the Lord, who may lead the next Billy Graham to the Lord. We'll be right back. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world.
Indeed, the voice of Billy Graham. Can you imagine his years wanting to be with the Lord as he got old and weak, and now being in the presence of the Lord, being reunited with his wife whom he loved so dearly? What a splendid, splendid moment it must be. 866-34-TRUTH. When I asked the question on Twitter, what made him so special, one word came back was integrity. Integrity. Listen, there was not a major scandal or a serious scandal ever associated with him in ministry. Oh, there were false charges that were brought here and there. I remember I'd hear them and they'd come and go. But no, there's never a scandal, because he didn't live a scandalous life. And he worked with men on his team for some of them over 40, 50 years they were together. And that's what struck me. Another thing that struck me when I visited the Billy Graham Library, I've spoken many times at their chapel services and have worked with a number of the leaders in the Billy Graham Association, Evangelistic Association, and have been blessed time and time again with their integrity and their standards and their perspective on what matters most. And I believe that's one reason God so favored the ministry. And when you see how God raised him up, and I'll come to this a little bit later, God raised him up. There's no question that God supernaturally raised him up and put him before the world. And that should encourage you, whoever you are. That's what you're going to be, a Billy Graham, or I'm going to be a Billy Graham. But whoever you are, if God's given you a message, he has the ability to get the message out. If he wants to put you in front of other people, he has the ability to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ron in Wake County. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. What really stands out with me with Reverend Graham is his sense of genuineness. And he, you know, he sincerely believed, I felt in his heart, that the gospel is the answer to, and it will solve a lot of our problems today. And I narrowed it and I've broken it down to a simple formula, and it's simplicity plus consistency equals genuine.
And he, say that and again. He say that again, please.
Simplicity plus consistency equals genuine.
And I like
so
that.
God doesn't, he doesn't need a person that can leap this tall mountain or a tall building in a single bound, because he can do that, you know, with simplicity, with ease.
Mm-hmm.
He wants someone that's basically obedient and will handle the small, what we call the small, simple things. And that's what God looks at. And that's what the Reverend Billy Graham did. And he did it consistently for years.
Yeah.
And when you take something that what people would call, no one, you know, really shares the gospel in its genuine, in its simplest, simplistic form that a baby can understand the story, and do that for year after year after year after year, and never lose its formula for, you know, but the way it's, I feel like when he first heard the message, is I felt like when he died, he felt the same way about that same message than the first time he ever heard.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just say this. When you go to visit the Billy Graham Library, before you leave, there's like a short message altar call, give you an opportunity to respond. In other words, they want to make sure that everybody hears the gospel. It remains the same. And that's part of an evangelist calling, that they're always excited about the simple gospel message, that they don't need to get caught up in, you know, every kind of teaching. Look, if you're called to be a teacher, you're called to dig, and you're excited about what you discover, and you can't wait to share it with someone else. Evangelist is excited to preach that same message to the lost week in, week out. And then you're doing it out of a clean life, and you're doing it in a way without reproach. That's massive. Hey, Ron, I really appreciate the call and the comments. Some great insights there. Thank you, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Randy in Greensboro, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to tell you how it impacted my life indirectly. Dr. Graham came to Greensboro in 1953, and it was just a fairgrounds where the Coliseum is now, and he held a crusade. And my father-in-law and his mother, he had to be about 12, 13 years old. He got saved. And then his life changed dramatically, and then he ended up going to a Christian school, met my mother-in-law, and had a family of three daughters, and I married one of them, and it's still impacting our family. So
isn't that something?
I want to share that.
So. Again, that's the ripple effect, and that, again, but for all of us. Hey, Randy, thanks. I really appreciate that. That's for all of us, though. In other words, when you lead someone to Jesus, you don't know how many other lives are going to be affected. You don't know how history is going to be affected, that someone that could have been born into a godless home ends up getting born into a godly home, and rather than ended up being some criminal or some horrific leader or some abusive person, they end up being a missionary or a doctor or a pastor or a homeschooling mom or whatever. So you never know the impact. Each individual life, precious in God's sight, but you never know how other lives could be impacted as well. And Franklin Graham was asked a few months back, he was asked the question, why is it that you talk about political and cultural situations and your father didn't? Now, Billy Graham would certainly talk about the wickedness of the world and the state of the world and the ungodliness of the world and the need to repent of sin. but you didn't think of him as making statements that were as politically charged as Franklin Graham. Now, they're also two different people. I don't see Franklin Graham as primarily an evangelist the way I see his father, Billy Graham, as primarily an evangelist. I see Franklin Graham also having kind of a prophetic wake-up call to the church, as well as this tremendous burden, Samaritan's Purse, to help the needy and the outcast. But Franklin Graham made the comment, look, when my dad was going to school, they read the Bible in schools. In other words, it was a very different world in which he grew up. But even so, there was still hostility to the gospel, and there was hostility to Christian work, and there was the idea that people are just trying to get rich off the gospel. So Billy Graham really broke a lot of those stereotypes. If you go to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, you visit there, you see the library, everything's done with excellence. They do things well. They are generous, gracious people, but they've never been associated with a carnal prosperity message. Far from it. They've never been associated with a message of Jesus as the means to financial riches. God forbid. And they've never preached, and Billy Graham's never preached a self-help gospel. It's rather you are helpless without Jesus and in desperate need of the cross. And without the mercy of God, you are lost. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Michael. My father came back from World War II as an alcoholic. He did succeed in raising five boys. And I remember when we were young, we used to go to church together, but not so much later. And him and my mom had been split up for a number of years, and they just got back together 6 months before he passed away. And they were laying in bed together watching the Billy Graham crusade. And my mother, after he passed away that night, went on, you know, believing that he had accepted Jesus for because I'm watching Billy Graham crusade that night.
Hmm. Yeah, and if he's watching it, he's going to be called on to make his decision to respond to the message. Yeah, may it be so. And here, if someone is dying, it's their last night, and you don't know if they're saved or not, and you could put on one thing for them to watch, then, yeah, that would have been a Billy Graham message, a Billy Graham crusade. Thank you for sharing that, Jerry. Let me tell you a neat testimony. The chief of staff at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Franklin Graham's right-hand man is a good friend of mine. He is a Jewish believer in Jesus. He worked formerly in the Reagan administration. He helped develop the Ronald McDonald Charity. He himself, raised in a religious Jewish home, would go to synagogue with his father on Saturday, on Shabbat. But when he would come home, even though you're not supposed to watch TV on Sabbath, his father would put on Billy Graham. What? Orthodox Jewish home? Yeah, his father would put on Billy Graham. Anyway, this gentleman, Ken, got thoroughly lost, was not living as a religious Jew, was ultimately a drug addict, a heroin addict, and he got wonderfully saved, wonderfully born again. He decides he has to call his parents because he's been out of touch for years. And he calls his dad, says, Dad, I have to tell you I've received Christ. He doesn't know the Jewish way to say it or anything. And his father starts crying. And so his mother gets on the phone and says, What did you tell your father? He's crying. So Ken's thinking, oh man, you know, my dad's upset. My mom's gonna be upset. And he said, I told him I received Christ. She goes, oh, he's not crying for the reason you think. We've been praying for your salvation for years. So somehow the message of Billy Graham had gotten into the hearts of his mom and dad. They got saved, and he was in such a sinful life, they were alienated for some time or out of touch, and they were praying for him. And then when he gets saved and tells them, they're crying for joy. And then he ends up becoming the chief of staff at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. How do you like that for a neat story of the grace of God? All right, I've got a neat story to tell you. Have you ever heard the Puff Graham story? I want to tell you about that when we come back. We'll take more of your calls. What is it that made Billy Graham so unique? We're honoring his memory, but also encouraging each one of us to follow in his footsteps to the extent he followed Jesus. Let's follow in his footsteps. We will be right back.
Take the nation, change the world. fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
On October 23rd, 4th, and 5th, the Yankees will play the White Sox here at Yankee Stadium. 18 of the best ball players in the world, and they will have a hard time getting this stadium filled. And so Billy Graham, one man filling it, should feel pretty proud of himself. But you know what he said? His reaction was, I didn't fill this stadium, God filled it.
You say, well, Billy, what is repentance? Repentance means that you acknowledge that you failed God, that you've sinned against God, and you're willing to renounce your sins. You're willing to give up your sins. And it means something else. It means that by faith you must receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must come to the foot of the cross and by an act of your will, choose Christ.
The voice of Billy Graham now in the presence of the Lord at the age of 99 years old. Amazing. George Beverly Shea, who used to sing at the Billy Graham meetings, was past 100 when he passed away and still singing. Amazing legacy left behind. We're talking about his life to encourage us today to run our race with excellence and perseverance and to share our faith with others. You're listening to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, 866-348-7884. In your mind, in your view, what made Billy Graham unique? Why did he stand out so? He was on the most respected men in America list, a poll that's done annually, I think 61 times as of end of last year. 61 times. Many times the most respected man in America. And even now, when he's been out of the spotlight for years, he was number four in terms of people polled in America, most respected man. He was number four among all men worldwide that was most respected. What is it about his legacy? What is it about his memory? What is it about his message that has made him so respected? That little excerpt we played where he's preaching repentance, I have friends who are evangelists who preach a clear message of repentance. Anyone that I work with in ministry, the students that come through our ministry school and are sent out in the field, they've learned to preach a clear message of repentance. But boy, throughout the body, throughout the whole body, it is remarkable how the message of repentance has been watered down. You say, how long have you been warning about that? Well, in writing since 1989. How's that? This is not some new thing I'm saying. But now so many people think that repentance just means change your mind. Change your mind about yourself, change your mind about God. Well, what if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus? How do you repent? Well, you just change your mind about yourself and confess yourself as the righteousness of God. That's not biblical repentance. Biblical repentance is a change of heart and mind and direction. It is, as Billy Graham said, a recognition of one's sin and guilt and a renouncing of that and putting faith in Jesus. That's repentance. And that message he unerringly preached. By the way, I just saw a comment on YouTube talking about Billy Graham Library making money in North Carolina. That's free. It's free. They don't charge. You go through there for free. Just want to clarify that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Pastor David in California. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, I'm a three-generation pastor, and when I was 5 years old back in Vietnam, I was sitting on a lap of a pastor and went to a stadium where Dr. Billy Graham, 1966. And back then I was not, I don't know much. But then I heard Christians who criticized about Dr. Graham's message. And later on, I analyzed it and I found this is what they said. They said, I thought I came to hear him did something, but he just shared the John 3:16. So later on, when I grown up, I analyzed that and I said, oh, what a mistake that Christian criticized Dr. Graham regarding preaching John 3:16, you know, because he's an evangelist. And
exactly.
Look, yeah, and Vietnam, we are like 97% non-Christians. And it's the message, it's the gospel, it's the words of God that drive people home to Christ. So that's my two cents.
That's a big two cents, sir. And thank you for sharing that. You know, sir, during the Boat People crisis from Vietnam, late 70s, early 80s, almost everyone in our church took Vietnamese families, individuals into our home. And so we had the privilege of having a number of refugees come into our home, and the upheaval and turmoil your country went through is so intense. So there's always been that soft spot in my heart. So when I heard you mention Vietnam as your background, it just, it does something inside of me. But yes, sir, he was a simple gospel preacher. He had spiritual depth. He was sophisticated. He could meet with presidents and world leaders. If I remember when I visited Billy Graham Library, seeing him on secular TV, and he was on with Woody Allen, you know, famous comedian, and obviously a man that didn't know God and understood he didn't know God or didn't believe in God at all. And Woody Allen was talking about, you know, sex before marriage, and basically said, you know, look, you want to buy a car, you want to test drive that car first. Now, of course, he could have said, well, what if that's your daughter that someone wants to test drive? How would you feel about that? But I remember Billy Graham answering him and saying, you know, look, if you want to play baseball without the rules, you can't have a game. And, you know, God gave us the rules for a reason, always simple, clear, to the point. But people knew that he loved them and cared about them. Thank you, sir. I'm just looking at some comments on YouTube. And, yeah, Jim Baker blew it. Scandals, financial scandals, sexual scandal, infamous in terms of what happened to him as a TV preacher, you know, writes a book, I Was Wrong, goes to prison, gets a harsh sentence for it. And who reaches out to him? Billy Graham. You didn't hear a lot about it. Billy Graham reaches out to Jim Baker. I mean, it massively impacted his life that when Jim Baker brought so much reproach to the gospel and did so much to damage the reputation of Jesus. Here he is, broken, contrite man in prison. Billy Graham reaches out to him. And although Billy Graham was not known for political stance, he opposed racism and he opposed segregation. When Martin Luther King on one occasion was arrested, Billy Graham paid his bail. And if Billy Graham was going to come to your city, if you wouldn't have a segregated meeting, he wouldn't come. So he stood for righteousness while clearly preaching the message of Jesus. I want to tell you in a moment how he became famous. If you don't know the story, it's one of my favorites. But I want to get some more calls, 866-34-TRUTH. In Charlotte, North Carolina, the hometown of Billy Graham, Anita, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Our paper mentioned how his modest home where he died, and I remember when he purchased that home. And my parents were not wealthy, and my parents had about the same size house. And so he had accountability for donations and things early on. So he wasn't out to make money. He was out to proclaim the gospel and love God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so his lifestyle was consistent. The organization has received lots of money. It's an organization that gives lots of money. They do things with excellence, that's for sure. But absolutely, he set a great example. And in fact, if you'll visit the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in Charlotte, North Carolina, visit the library, you'll see what they do. They do with excellence. But what's interesting is that their ethic was shoot for the middle. In other words, if you're going to buy a car, if you're going to have an office building, you know, see what's the high, what's the low, shoot for the middle. And that's just the way they would do things, to do things with excellence, but to avoid reproach. Thanks for calling 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call right now. We'll go to Marilyn. Andrew, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. This is my first time calling you, so I'm a little bit, well,
I'll tell you what, it's just the two of us having a conversation. I just want to make sure you're talking directly into your phone, that I'm not on speakerphone or anything like that, so I can hear you clearly, because you're slightly muffled. But go ahead. It's just the two of us talking. Don't be nervous.
All right. I am talking on my phone, but
okay.
Anyway, Dr. Billy Graham was one of my favorite evangelists, and he's one of the first ones to have such a huge influence on in media without compromising his message. So I respect him a lot for that. And even though I haven't like listened to a lot of his messages, I have seen some of his classic stuff on TV, and
yeah.
I even heard an excerpt of a sermon once on a Christian contemporary artist by the name of Toby Mack, the song City on Our Knees, and that was one of my favorites, and it was kind of bittersweet to hear that he died.
I'm just jumping in. I'm just having a problem with the connection, sir. I know you're speaking right in the phone. Every so often, the phone connection just doesn't work over the radio. But the key thing that I heard you say that I want to repeat was that he had this massive influence, but he never compromised his message. In other words, it's one thing if you want to be promoted and be a famous person and all you're going to do is be a motivational coach. Okay, if that's your calling, fine, but don't call that the gospel. If you're just going to be a pep talk enthusiast and that's your calling, well, fine, just don't confuse that with the gospel. But if you're called to be a gospel preacher, preach the gospel. Don't give me some watered down, diluted message. Don't give me something that's just full of, you know, personal encouragement without the cross, without repentance, without holiness, without the blood of Jesus, because that's not going to save anybody. All that's going to do is give an aspirin to someone dying of cancer. No, we need to preach the gospel, and Billy Graham never watered down the message. Now, thank you for calling, sir. Every so often you will hear an excerpt or see an excerpt where Billy Graham is talking, and it sounds as if he's saying there are many different ways to heaven or that all religions lead to heaven. That is absolutely not what he believed. And if there's ever a question about it, they would address it now that they have the website for years on the website. He clearly preached salvation only found in Jesus. If there are ever quotes or excerpts you hear where there's a different impression, or someone says he got older, got softer, to my deep, deep knowledge and understanding and knowing people very close to him, his message remained unchanged. Perhaps a quote is taken out of context. His message remained unchanged. We come back. We'll tell you the Puff Graham story.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Boy, I've got to find this quote when Reinhold Niebuhr, the theologian, was taking issue with some of Billy Graham's preaching when he had these extended meetings that went on multiple weeks long in Madison Square Garden in New York City. And Niebuhr was a theologian, criticized the message. And Billy Graham had this great line. I meant to look for it during the break and just didn't do it. But just this thing about, you know, how brilliant Niebuhr was, just honored him. He just honored him and spoke well of him. It's like, yeah, his critique is probably just, you know, too deep for me or something. Responded with humility, and it didn't make Niebuhr look bad, and it didn't distract from the message. And then, of course, there was supernatural favor on his life. All right, before I tell you the Puff Graham story, I'm really excited. April 3rd, the new baby is coming. Yes, our newest book, Playing with Holy Fire. Playing with Holy Fire, a wake-up call to the Charismatic Pentecostal Church. Listen, this is the world I've lived in for the better part of 46 years. So as an insider, I can raise lots of the issues and lots of the problems and address them. Just like if I was an insider in the Southern Baptist Convention or an insider in the United Methodist Church or an insider, that I'd be much more able to address those issues. So this is an area where I've worked and lived, but I address them as one recognizing the Spirit's moving and saying that we've got a clean house. And some of you are going to read this book and breathe a big sigh of relief. And others are going to want to get multiple copies. I got to give this out to this pastor, this leader. And I want you to know, Charismatic Pentecostal leaders were lining up to endorse the book. I did very little to ask for endorsements, and we ran out of time. More people wanted to endorse, but we didn't have time. But here, table of contents, I start off talking about how the Spirit is moving mightily around the earth, and you'd be shocked by some of the stats there. But then, chapter 2, why are we so gullible? Chapter 3, mercenary prophets. Chapter 4, superstar leaders. Chapter 5, abusive leadership. Chapter 6, unaccountable prophecies. Chapter 7, sexual immorality. Chapter 8, the pep talk prosperity gospel. Chapter 9, celebrating doctrinal deviance. Chapter 10, to the third heaven and back in a flash. Chapter 11, wanting to be wise like the world. Chapter 12, where do we go from here? And postscript, a word to the charismatic critics. You can pre-order a signed, numbered copy of the first edition. It's kind of a collector's item. I love signing them to you, and it's something special that you can hold on to, and it's a way you can support our ministry as well. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You'll find the banner right on the home page, all right? And you can pre-order there. Again, as soon as we get the books, it should be a little bit before publication date, we'll get them signed and sent out to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's just see here. Yeah, here we go. Thanks. All right. So leading the charge against Graham was none other than Reinhold Niebuhr, the venerable professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. In an article for Life magazine, Niebuhr vigorously denounced Graham for presenting Jesus as the all-sufficient answer for man's ills. Quote, "Perhaps because these solutions are rather too simple in any age, but particularly so in a nuclear one with its great moral perplexities, such a message is not very convincing to anyone. Christian or not, who is aware of the continuing possibilities of good and evil in every advance of civilization, every discipline of culture, and every religious convention, Niebuhr wrote, Graham offers Christian evangelism even less complicated answers than it has ever before provided. So despite repeated requests by Graham, Niebuhr refused to meet with him. So Graham simply complimented Niebuhr and explained away their differences. Quote, I have read nearly everything Mr. Niebuhr has written, and I feel inadequate before his brilliant mind and learning, he told reporters. Occasionally I get a glimmer of what he is talking about. If I tried to preach as he writes, people would be so bewildered that they would walk out. Come on. Is that classic? Matt, thanks for grabbing that for me. Is that classic Billy Graham or not? Number one, trying to meet with him. Number two, honoring him, deprecating himself, but then also making it clear, hey, I'm just called to preach a simple message, and if I preached his stuff, people wouldn't get it. Come on. That's part of what made him who he was, and that's part of the strength of an evangelist. Know your place. Know your calling. All right, so Billy Graham was not a nationally known figure. He was preaching in California, L.A. area, under a tent, maybe several thousand people a night, and that was it. And the media guru of the day, the man with the most influence, was Randolph Hearst. And Randolph Hearst was influential in newspapers, media around the country. He heard about what Billy Graham was doing, and he liked it. And he liked him and his message. And he sent out a telegram message, two words to all of his news outlets around America, Puff Graham. Puff Graham. That was it. Puff Graham. In other words, build him up, speak well about him, tell good stories about him. Overnight, Billy Graham became a nationally known figure. From a little-known evangelist preaching in a tent to a few thousand meetings to being a household name, it virtually shifted overnight and in a matter of days went from relative obscurity to relatively well-known. It happened that quickly. And obviously, God had been testing and preparing Billy Graham through the years. Obviously, God had been preparing him for that moment so that when the promotion came, he was ready. He already had the ethical foundations in his ministry. Look, the much-hated, what's called the Mike Pence rule, was the Billy Graham rule. You know that you're not going to be as a man alone with someone of the opposite sex. So if you're not married to that person, it's not a family member. It's not like, yeah, come in my hotel room. We'll talk for a minute. You know, I've had times at a hotel, someone wants to talk to me, someone of the opposite sex, or I do it just right there in front of everybody in the lobby. Well, it's private. Well, this is going to have to do. You're not going in a private room. That's not going to happen, you know. And just various ethical standards for life and setting salary structures and things like that. And they live by these, and many others have as well. And to many of us, these are just common sense rules and laws. But the thing that most of us don't realize is when you get to the level of prominence Billy Graham got to, when you are meeting with presidents and world leaders, when you can snap your fingers and billionaires will donate money to your cause, if you had a need, they'd do it in a heartbeat. To not walk in pride, to not get in the flesh, to not take advantage of your connections, that is something that is hard to do. And then there is the devil attacking. You don't think he's after you to compromise sexually? From what I understand, before Billy Graham went into a hotel room, someone on staff in the hotel would have to go in the room and inspect it first to make sure there was no woman in there waiting for him, because people try to set him up. You just walk in there, and there's a woman or some naked woman. Someone snaps one picture, and there it is. All right? So those are the precautions they took. But what you don't realize is the level of spiritual attack, the level of spiritual resistance you get, the level of traps that are set for you. So to have that ministry for that many years and that level of prominence, and from what I know from everyone close to him, to still be very humble and wondering why God chose him. You know, somebody just from, you know, in his mind, you know, rural North Carolina, why God chose him to be a world evangelist. He never felt worthy of it. He never thought too highly of himself. So these are things that to me are real, real foundations. And here's something else fascinating. I don't read a lot of leadership books. You know, some people, that's what they read and devour, day and night leadership books. They've never done a lot for me. So I've read other kinds of things that really speak to me and minister to me. But I read one book on the leadership secrets of Billy Graham, written by one of his longtime colleagues. And what I didn't know about Dr. Graham was that by nature, he was very pessimistic. By nature, he was a pessimist to the point that growing up, his family gave him a nickname from some well-known book or story where, you know, the pessimist guy, I forget who it was, but that was him. And someone said that when his wife was going to be flying from one city to another by herself, that he went through 20 potential scenarios of what could go wrong. That was his nature, to look at what was wrong, what was the problem. But through his ministry, he was known as one who gave great hope, that he constantly imparted hope. Obviously, he was encouraged in his heart by God, and because of his relationship with God, was able to impart that hope to others. All right, I want to leave you with this last thing. Some years back, he was on with Greta Van Susteren in an interview and was asked if he could do anything differently, what he would do differently with his life and ministry. And boy, did it challenge me as well. And he said he would speak less and spend more time in prayer, more time in God, in the Lord, in prayer and study. And he said, of course, the big meetings, he would continue to do those. You know, the big crusades and these mass meetings, he would continue to do those. But many other speaking engagements he took, he said he wouldn't have taken them. He wouldn't have been so busy. He would have gotten alone with God more and spent more time in prayer and more time in study. Boy, that challenged me, and that spoke to me as well. Sometimes we are running so thin, and God wants us to run deep. Word of encouragement for each of you. Walk in integrity before God, and do the work of an evangelist. No, it may not be your calling, but we're all called to do the work of evangelists, to be sharers of our faith. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll make you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. Let each of us be used. Say, God, give me souls. Let me be a soul winner. That's a great thing we can do in memory of Billy Graham.